Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, my fellow Liberty lovers. Oh my goodness. Liberty lovers. It's been a long day already. I had a podcast show earlier today with some friends here in Wisconsin, and apparently we've already done a lot of talking. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries here on episode 2 of Living with Freedom Radio on Freedomizer Radio. And last week, to recap, was our pilot episode we launched on July 4th, which was pretty epic. I got to have my good friend Sarah P. on as a guest, and we talked about, you guessed it, our Independence Day. And we got to do a reading of the Declaration of Independence. Those of you who tuned in may have heard us get a little caught up in the emotion of it, because for us, it's not just passion, it's purpose, and it's our battle cry. And that was really what it came down to, is realizing that, you know, this isn't just a sheet of paper. A declaration is proclaiming, it's declaring. That's part of the word. And something you'll soon realize, if you have not already, is semantics, the meanings of words, how we use them, the intention behind the words we use is really important. So that's a little recap of last week. So if you want to tune in on that, you can go to Freedomizer Radio and check out the archives. It should be over there. And feel free to share this with your friends. You know, over here at Living with Freedom, we are all about just that, what living with freedom is all about. And I have so many different passions in all areas of life. That includes our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual freedom, as well as freedom in everyday life, what that even looks like. And so today, that's kind of what I want to dig into. That's the topic of today, is what's it all mean? How does one, quote, live with freedom? What does living with freedom even mean? And can I get freedom back? So today we'll discover some of the answers to those questions and more. And really how to go about creating a life filled with both purpose and freedom. Because I know I've talked to a lot of people in the work that I do with ministry and with being an advisor for private member associations, that I realize a lot of people struggle figuring out what their purpose in life is. I believe in God, so I call it my God-given purpose. If you want to call it your higher purpose, your divine purpose, I've heard a lot of different names for it, but whatever you want to call it, you know, sometimes life feels so unfulfilling when we don't feel connected to our purpose. And that also means feeling a little bit trapped in the 9-to-5 grind. And feeling trapped is very much the opposite of freedom. So to kind of get into it, I really want to focus on, you know, that whole life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So I'm going to pull up the Declaration of Independence, and we're going to read it super quick. Not the signers. I was doing some research for a little bit later in the show on the signers of the Declaration. But I want to read an actual excerpt from the Declaration, because that's really the topic of the day, is digging into that. So here we go with a transcription of it. So I'm going to read really the first two paragraphs here quick, because that's kind of the meat and potatoes. The second, I would say, half of this Declaration is really digging into the specific grievances that the signers had at the time against Great Britain and the king. And we kind of discussed a few of those on last week's show. We'll definitely be getting into those in future shows because it's so relevant to today. If we don't know our past, how can we prevent from repeating it, obviously? You know, there's that old adage, in knowing your history, otherwise you're doomed to repeat it. So we're just going to focus on those first two paragraphs. And it says, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. Something I want to point out here is at that time, they were not capitalizing United States of America as part of their title. The states were the what was capitalized. That's the proper noun, right? So the states themselves were independent nation states. And that this new thing they were creating, this central government they were creating, or this federal government, was supposed to function in my terms. Don't get like nitpicky with me. I'm just doing this for comparison purposes. What the United States federal government was really kind of designed to function as was more like a United Nations, where it's like this congregating of many countries, of many independent nation states for a common purpose. And that was to negotiate commerce and peace and all these different things. It was not to create a central government controlling each of them. So I just wanted to do a little side note there. So I'm going to go back. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political band which has connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now, here's the really key part we're going to be touching on. Most of you who love your liberty already know this, but we're going to read it again. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator, there's that God-given purpose thing, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we're given these rights, I'm going to break this down a bit, we're given these rights by birth by our creator, not by government. They're not given to us by government. That would be a privilege. So I just want to make a note of that. That to secure these rights, so we're protecting the rights that we already have, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers, thereas in the government, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The governed is we the people, right? That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So, all right, we're not going to go into the rest of that second paragraph. This is the main part, the part that we've all heard, but sometimes really forget the heart and soul of. That we are born with these rights, and that to protect these rights we already have, governments are instituted that are given their powers, their limited enumerated powers, by us, okay? So those are the important parts that I want to focus on. Now, getting into history a little bit, we realize that in most of history, life for most people really consisted of slavery and or servitude. Now, one could argue, and so I want to address this, one could argue that if they are trying to fulfill their God-given purpose, that also is a form of servitude because we're serving our God, our creator. And so yes, while I do technically agree on the semantics of that, my point here is to focus on the difference between slavery of, you know, slavery under other humans versus, you know, voluntarily fulfilling our God-given purpose, because we really do have that choice to do it or not do it. And so that was part of the mission of our founders and framers, was really creating a system where we have the freedom for our rights to pursue happiness, to pursue the life that we want and have the liberty that we are born with. You can't
say that if you're being controlled by a government.
So really, those of us who are believers, in my opinion, we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we're not only blessed with the freedom that came with, you know, that ultimate sacrifice, we're also given an opportunity and a mission to build kingdom here on earth, to fulfill purpose, to not be slaves. Because really there's a lot of freedom and blessings that come with that whole salvation thing. So I'm not going to dig into that because a lot of liberty lovers are also believers and you know that truth. I'm not going to, you know, hash that out. Purpose is one of the other things, like I said, I wanted to really touch on because so many of us struggle with purpose. And through the work that I do, I have actually created this little workshop. I'm not going to do it in its entirety because it does include some pauses to do the exercises. But what I am going to do is I'm going to walk you through the exercise itself so that you can go back and listen to this, you know, and stop it, have a timer. And I highly recommend doing this. This is all about discovering your purpose, your God-given purpose. So let me scroll down here to our exercise. So what I call it is how to uncover your purpose. I'm going to invite you to grab a notebook and on a clean sheet of paper, you're going to jot down a couple answers to some questions. But first, before you actually go through this exercise, I want you to take 3 deep breaths. You know, when you're listening to the recording, pause it. And just kind of get grounded, get focused, get centered, whatever you want to call it. Get in tune with God, say a little prayer. And primarily these 3 deep breaths. The first one, as you exhale, you're going to release anything that came before this moment. Any stresses, any worries, any regrets, any of that kind of stuff. You're just going to release that. And then on the second inhale and exhale, now I want you to release anything that is coming up in the future, anything you're stressing about that's coming up, whether it's after listening to this, tomorrow, next week, next year, the future in general. And I want you just to release that just for a few moments, okay? I'm not saying forget about your worries, forget about your troubles. No, we're just going to set them aside for now. And that third deep breath, I want you to just focus on this moment here and now, and where we're at with this exercise. So the first question is on what you've overcome. I want you to set a timer, and you can have it be longer than the times I'm going to recommend, but at a minimum, take 2 to 3 minutes and make a list of the things that you've overcome in life. Now, I'm going to add a caveat here. If you're still overcoming it, don't write that down. We're only focusing on the things that you have already been through, gone through, come out on the other side. And then the second question is on who you've become. So I want you to take a look at who you were before and during those situations. In question one, the situations were the things that you've overcome, right? And specifically here, I want you to notice what is different between the version of you before the situation or during the situation and who you are now. Because we change. And so the things that we go through do shape and transform us. So I want you to think about who you were before and during the situation and who you are now. And we just lost my spot on the page. So we're going to go back here for a moment. While you're thinking and writing down the answers to number 2, I want you to look at spending about 3 to 5 minutes at a minimum on this part. Sometimes when you think about who we were before versus now, it really can kind of change how we think about ourselves. Grid view. Okay. Sorry, we had a little tech glitch there for a moment. All right. So my other tip with this section is do this reflection on who you were then and now without any judgment or opinion. We're just looking at observations. A lot of the time we can end up bringing regret or guilt into these reflections, and we're not going to do that right now. We're just looking at an observation. What's changed? So the third part here is what you've learned. Start to jot down all of the things that you've learned, the tools that you had to use to get through your situation, the resources you've collected. And sometimes this exercise works best if, with number one, you write down several situations, and with two and three, you focus on one situation specifically that really kind of helped shape and transform your life from before to after it. And especially with this question, I want you to think of just one situation and really just brainstorm everything that you learned, all the resources you gathered by going through that situation. Any friendships that you cultivated, that can also be really helpful because sometimes, you know, we get our biggest help from others who have been through the same or similar situations. And with this one, I want you to spend another 3 to 5 minutes at a minimum. You can always go back and do number 2 and 3 for each of those different situations. And for some reason, it's not changing slides. Here we go. All right, so this next part, I am going to walk you through a quick visualization. So I want you to close your eyes with me. And I want you to imagine waking up tomorrow and it's the last, you somehow know that it's your last day on earth and you're at peace. You're not stressed. You're not freaking out. You just realize, okay, this is the end. Here we go to the next thing. But I want you to think about if someone was sitting next to you and asked you, did you accomplish everything you came here on earth to accomplish? And it's not necessarily a job. It's not necessarily the American dream with the white picket fence and the, you know, 2.5 kids and whatever. Did you fulfill your purpose? Did you help and serve who you were meant to serve? Did you do the mission work that you felt called to do? Or did you not? Did you feel pressured to just, you know, do something you didn't love because it was stable? There's no right or wrong here. It's just, again, looking at an observation. What do you feel like you were here to do? And are you doing it? And if not, why not? If so, how is it going? Are you fulfilled yet? Or is there still more to be done? Is this like the first chapter of fulfilling your purpose and there's more chapters to come? So just think about that. Again, do this without judgment, without guilt, without shame or anything. Just observe. And then I want you, when you feel that kind of complete, doing this reflection on what you came here to do, and if you're fulfilling it, if you're helping the people you're meant to help and doing the work you're meant to be doing, I want you to just kind of finish up that visualization and then kind of come back to present. I know that can feel very woo-woo, new agey kind of stuff, but I have found that sometimes I need that quiet visualization time with God to just really get a vision for what he's intended for my life. And sometimes I have to kind of block everything outside out, put on some of those barriers, and really kind of tune inward and upward. And for me, visualizations like that really help me. If that's not your jam, there are other, you know, other exercises that can help you find your purpose or get you closer to your purpose. But I want you to play around with either this exercise or another one if you, you know, if something else resonates more with you. And look at what you've written. Are there any patterns? When you look at the things you've overcome, who you were before and after the situation, and the tools you've collected, are there any patterns? Do you feel called to use that experience and those tools and resources to then help others? Often what I find is our purpose just kind of happens without us realizing it, sometimes without us wanting it to happen. And sometimes what that looks like is going through an experience and then sometime after that experience, we realize we're starting to help other people, you know, who are going through the same kind of situation and being able to help because we've been there. Whether that help looks like just an ear to listen, whether it's giving advice, whether it's sharing the resources, those are the things that kind of tip us off to our purpose and our path in life. So that's kind of what I want you to explore is, are there any things that are connecting your past experiences to helping people? That's the direction you want to be going if you're fulfilling, if you're looking at fulfilling your purpose. After all of this exploration, when you feel like you've really kind of pinned down what you feel like your purpose might be, I want you to find a way to write down in one short sentence, what is your purpose? So I'm going to share with you what my purpose is so that you have an example of how like short and sweet it is. If you have to look at it every time after memorizing it or trying to memorize it to get out the whole thing, it's too long. So here's what mine is. My God-given purpose is to help others discover and fulfill their God-given purpose. It sounds really vague, and some people's purpose will be much more specific feeling, and some will be really broad because they've been through a lot of different experiences designed to help a lot of different people. And neither one is right or wrong because it's our own purpose. You know, you can't quantify what purpose is and its value. So, those of you listening, if you want to chime in the chat or if we're connected on Facebook, I apologize that traffic outside is kind of loud right now. But if you want to chime in on this next part, feel free. I would love to hear your responses. Or if you want to hop on live on the call and share what your experience was going through that, I would absolutely love that. So hopefully this traffic is not overwhelming. With the audio, so let me know if it is. We'll do some tweaking for next week if we need to. So my question is, based on your answers before that visualization, so those three questions I asked, and specifically on number three, are there things that you're currently doing or are planning to do that align with your purpose? And that's how you start to move toward and your God-given purpose, your higher purpose, is starting to do the things that align with the experiences you've had to help others who may experience it or are going through it already. One of my mentors, her name is Stacey Hall, lovely lady. I adore her. We've been connected for, gosh, almost a decade now, I think. And when I was coaching with her, one of the things she taught me really in the heart of a situation I was going through is this concept. The things that we go through aren't about us. They're what we can learn to then turn around and help others. And for me, that was gigantic. The reason it was so huge is it depersonalized the experiences I was going through. It made it not feel like such a personal attack on me and my purpose and my integrity, and instead became an exploration, a bit more of an adventure. Yes, still dangerous. Yes, still treacherous and scary at times, but it felt less personal and just something I needed to go through, a path I needed to go down. A really popular concept for this, visual, you know, image for this is if you're trying to get to the summit of a mountain, you know, the very top where you can see out over everything, it's not a straight path up. There's going to be turns and twists, and sometimes you have to go up and down smaller hills or smaller mountains to get to the very top of the big mountain that you're climbing. And obviously life is the same way. It's not a straight path up. There's going to be twists and turns and valleys and cliffs that you need to step back from. And so that's where it becomes so much less personal. It's personal and it's not, because it's your individual purpose. And yet it's not about you having to go through them as a single individual all alone. Because one, other people have been through similar situations before you, and there will be other people after you who could really use the insight that you gained by going through that experience to then help them go through it maybe a little easier or avoid going through it. So that's something I'm really passionate about, is helping people discover their purpose and start to pursue it. I have a lot of resources, speaking of, since we're talking about gathering resources from experiences, I have gathered a lot of resources from, you know, the varied experiences that I've had to be able to turn it around and then help others. And this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the call, where if you're not in line with that purpose, sometimes it can feel so chaotic where you go through this experience and people are like just gravitating towards you who happen to have been through it too. And yet you're working this other job, like as, I don't know, just fill in the blank. You're doing this job that's totally unrelated and it just feels so disjointed. When things feel disjointed, or if you feel kind of like that zombie going through the motions, mindlessly day in and day out, living for the weekend, working for vacation time, and really never getting ahead, that's when you know, like, you're not in alignment with your purpose. You're just in survival mode. You're not working towards thriving. An example that I like to give here is we know that when we're working for others, they pay us just enough so we don't quit, but they don't pay us enough for us to start thriving and being successful and flourishing. Because obviously business owners, as a trend, they want to save money. They're not in it for charity. They're in it for profit. And so they pay people just enough to not quit. And if you feel like you're getting paid just enough to not quit, you know, maybe explore, are you in alignment with your purpose or not? Before we move on to the next part, we are at the 30-minute mark, so I'm going to pause here for some ads from our other shows here on the Freedom Mindset Radio. So here we go.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Good afternoon and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers.
This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Peter, the Korean films are my letter of recommendation. It is obvious their hearts are a letter of approval from Messiah. Dionysus from the 405 BC play the Baker and Jesus of Nazareth quote the same line, kicking against the pricks. That is plausible, is it not? Am I not an apostle?
Let's study this and more proof that a test of whom we love exists in the New Testament canon. Join Everlasting Covenant Study Free from Paul, which airs Saturdays noon Pacific, 1 Mountain, 2 Central, and 3 Eastern for 3 hours on Saturdays, where listeners enjoy fellowship and study of the words of Messiah versus yours, Paul. 3195276208. Saturdays at noon Pacific.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook, facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
All right, so we are back, and next up, well, just to give a recap, we are talking about what living with freedom really means, what's it all about, how to create a life of purpose and freedom, and really discover and explore the answers to those questions and more. We did a little purpose exercise where I walked you through some questions that I like to ask to help people get sort of in touch with their purpose in life, with the things they've been through and how they overcame it and how they can maybe use that to help others. Because often that's really where our purpose comes from, is the things we go through not being about us, but being about what we can learn to then help others. And right in that, it can be so freeing. It can take off the chains and the bonds that we feel sometimes as a survivor of an experience, going from that victim mentality, oh, I've been through this horrible thing, to I'm a survivor. I survived going through this really, really overwhelming situation. I have tools and resources that I use to help me get through it and overcome on the other side. And here's how I'm now thriving afterward, and being then able to help others with that. So the third area I kind of want to talk about is really kind of my definition of what living with freedom is. And living with freedom really comes down to enjoying self-governance. It's the fact that we are endowed by our Creator, as we referenced in the Declaration. It's being able to fulfill one's purpose, one's mission in life, and being able to do those things free from interference and from overreach. It means getting to stop asking for permission, stop being told what we're allowed to do and or how to do it. And it means having the health to do what we want when we want. And it also means having the resources to do what you need to and want to do when you need and want to do it. Like I said, it's not having to get a permission slip from Big Brother to pursue your purpose. When I say permission slip, you know the kinds I'm talking about. It's not like in school to go to the bathroom, but kind of. It's in the form of licenses and certifications to even be able to serve people. Maybe you already know your purpose is to help heal people. And we've traded so much freedom and liberty and rights for this false sense of security. When you think about it, when you go to your doctor, you know, they're typically licensed medical professionals, part of, you know, the medical board and blah, blah, blah. And yet they pay the wazoo for liability insurance because one of the, I'm not saying it's the leading cause of death in this country, but one of the top leading causes of death in this country, and I think it's like top three, is medical malpractice, medical issues. So how is that licensing really working for us? Now, those of us who are liberty lovers and freedom fighters and awake, not woke, awake to the last few years, we saw how these regulations, these licenses, these certification requirements really did not help serve people. They didn't help serve we the people. They really put restrictions on our access to information. They put restrictions on access to life-saving resources. And so for about a, let's see, it's 2023. For a little over a decade, medical freedom has been a big passion of mine. Even a little bit before that, but a decade ago was really when things started to ramp up for me. When I slipped on some ice that January and sprained my ankle really bad. I didn't have insurance and I was really brushed out the door, only to go to a massage therapist who does rehabilitative stuff and find out if I had torn some tendons any further, I would have needed surgery. Those are two very different experiences. And now, yes, that massage therapist was certified and licensed, and yet modern medicine would not have accepted his, his opinion on the health and the strength of my ankle. So that was really a turning point moment in my life where I started to realize I really don't have the ability to trust that system with my health and wellness. And then I was turned on to using essential oils to be able to help, as well as other things, obviously massage therapy. And those were key points in my life that pivoted the direction I was going to kind of my new purpose. And I say new because I thought I knew my purpose, but really refining, we'll go with that. Let's go with refining my purpose. And so the health aspect, the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health to have freedom is so near and dear to my heart. Because if you're laid up in bed, or if you wake up wanting to go back to sleep, You know, there's things we can do. There's things people can do out there to help. And if we're so caught up with this false sense of security of going to a licensed professional, we're going to miss out on so many amazing resources that God gave us. Like, we know food is thy medicine. We know that the Bible talks about different things to help heal and, you know, holy anointing oils and all these things. Why are we as believers not turning to these God-given resources to take care of us? So that's kind of a side topic for today, but I really wanted to touch on that super quick because it is really important. Health is not something that we need to put on the it's not something we need to put on the back burner because we're pursuing our purpose or our passions. If we're not taking care of our health, we're going to have nothing to give. And it's going to be really messy if we don't pay attention to those things. Something I want to pull up. We were talking about just a few minutes ago. I think that's on my other notes. Here it is. Where is it? I have so many notes that I mixed them up here. Oh, we were talking about freedom from interference and overreach. And I want to pull up a case law that kind of talks about that. Let me scroll down here. I found a document I wanted. So there's this case called Pierce versus Society of Sisters. And it's from 1925. I'm not going to reference the entire code. If you do a web search, you can get it pulled up pretty easy. So this case, Pierce versus Society of Sisters, stated that, and I'm going to paraphrase the first part and share where the quotes belong, share that the private domain, so our private right, the private domain is called, quote, a sanctuary from unjustified interference by the state. Another case calls our right to privacy in our private domain a constitutional shelter. It's not saying that it's given by the Constitution, but that it is protected by it if we know how to use it. And one of my favorite ones, and this case has been quoted over 1,600 times in other cases based on my understanding, and that's a case called Hale versus Henkel, H-E-N-K-E-L. And it states that no private citizen owes any duty or obligation to the state or to his neighbor to disclose his private business. So if you, actually I'm going to use myself as an example. I have been studying essential oils and natural health and wellness for a decade now. I don't, as a single mom and having so many other things on my plate, I did not have the time or resources to go get letters behind my name showing proof that I have that knowledge. And yet, I can guarantee with almost 100% certainty, I would say 99% certainty, that I know more about essential oils than any doctor out there, or at least mainstream doctor out there. And that's because I took it upon myself to really become an expert in that topic by reading books, by, you know, studying different scientists and what they said about the topic, studying about the compounds and all of this stuff, and really getting to see all of the different benefits of it. And so if you ask a doctor, hey, can I use XYZ for my ABC issue? They're going to have such a limited knowledge and either think that they're all dangerous and you shouldn't use them at all, or that they couldn't possibly help with that because it's just a fragrance, right? And unfortunately, that comes down to their education, their training. They were not trained on how to actually get to root causes. Sorry about the traffic.
They were not trained to get down to root causes, and they were not trained to naturally heal things. They're trained in prescribing medications, in my mind, prescribing drugs. And most liberty lovers and freedom fighters out there know that these drugs are just a band-aid to the real issue. And that unless you actually address the root cause of a health challenge, it's still going to be there when you stop taking the medication. And so for me, I want to be able to serve people and fulfill my purpose by using my experience and my studies to be able to help people. And knowing that I know more about any mainstream doctor out there about this, I feel fully qualified to be able to address these things and know, things to be concerned about, things to pay attention to, without having those letters behind my name. Anyone who's a massage therapist or a chiropractor, if you're licensed through those boards, chances are you're probably not allowed to cross into other areas unless you also become certified in those things and be quote unquote protected under those regulatory boards. And yet, if you take away those certifications, if someone took a class on something, does that not mean they still have the education? Or a doctor, if their medical license expires or is even revoked, does that negate all of the knowledge that they gained in those 6, 8, 10, 12 years of school that they went through and continuing education to get the knowledge they have? No, they still have their degree. They still have their knowledge. Just having this permission slip is not the important part in being able to pursue your passion. And so this is where I'm going to give a big ask of you guys. I want you to explore what it looks and feels like to pursue your passions and protect your private business without those permission slips, without having to ask Big Brother, may I do this for my work? If it's your purpose and your passion in life, why are you giving away your power to anybody, let alone the government? I believe it was it Ronald Reagan said, the most dangerous words to hear are we're here from the government and here to help you. I'm butchering it. I apologize. But true. Every time they get their nose in something, it becomes so messy, it's no longer a positive. Let's stop letting them do that. One of the ways we can do that, I'll get into in a little bit here, but there's ways we can protect our private business without that interference, without that overreach. So that's something else that I'm very, very adamant and very passionate about. So if that's of interest to you, definitely reach out because I want you to have the information, the resources to be able to do something about it. I don't want anyone feeling stuck like, okay, I know there's something wrong with the system or with, things, and I know what's wrong, but now what do I do about it? How do I do anything about it? I don't want people to feel stuck like that. So it's not about getting that permission slip. So something I'm sure some listeners are feeling is, this all sounds like a bunch of overly optimistic fluff talk, talking about our liberties and our purpose. So let's get out of that optimistic view and let's break it down. It's not a natural right to be protected from risk or harm. So we've actually falsely traded a sense of security by having these licenses and certifications and regulations. We've traded a false sense of security for our rights. We do have a right to defend ourselves from that risk or harm, but that's our right. It's not a right to expect anyone else to defend us for us. we should not be relying on anyone to do anything for us. And that's part of where we've gotten so off track, is we've really outsourced or even delegated the right to defend ourselves by depending on someone else. If it's your purpose, why aren't you fighting for it? So a prime example, especially for those of us who are parents, is protecting our kids from what they're exposed to at school and at publicly funded places. I read an article, I believe it was yesterday. The article is from Epoch Times, and it is from Jackson Elliott. The title is, oh, here we go. We're going to open that up here. So the title of the article is Maine, as in the state, Maine High School pays drag performer $1,000 to host a catered workshop for LGBT students. And I'm scrolling here on my Epoch Times app. Here we go. I'm going to read, so I'm going to re-quote who it's from. I'm going to read just the first three paragraphs. If you want to know more about this article or read it in its entirety, you can go to Epoch Times. The author is Jackson Elliott. It was written July 8th. And the title, Maine High School Pays Drag Performer $1,000 to Host Catered Workshop for LGBT Students. LGBT Students. So the first three paragraphs to read as follows. Dominic Varney, known as Priscilla Poppycock, when performing in drag, paints his social media page with sexual innuendo. Yet Maine's Bangor High School, BHS, paid him $1,000 to put on a workshop with a theme of his choice for LGBT students in Maine. I just know you are a role model for these kids, and we just want you to shine a light on them, end quote, BHS English teacher Emily Throckmorton wrote to Mr. Varney, who also works as an assistant director of undergraduate academic advising and support services for the University of Maine, UMaine. The comment was included, that quote I read above, the comment was included in an email obtained through a public records request by parental rights advocate Sean McBriarty. I think I said that right. Mr. McBriarty is a director at the Maine First Project, a parental rights group. So first and foremost, I want to add this disclaimer. Whatever your day job is, so in this case, it sounds like Mr. Varney is the Assistant Director of Undergraduate Academic Advising and Supporting Services for the University of Maine. What a person does in their private spare time is their private business. So I am not going to, in this show, bash anyone for any of their individual hobbies, interests, passions. That's not the purpose here. My point here is that the fact that the high school paid him as an entertainer and a social media influencer, it seems like, to do a workshop for these LGBT students. And I'm also not going to bash their effort to support a percentage of their population, their student body. Here's what I am going to say. If we as parents do not want to see such things in our schools, we cannot continue to just sit back, not attending school board meetings, and then get mad when something like this happens. We cannot, I'm going to repeat this, we cannot not attend school board meetings and then turn around and complain when something like this happens. And here is why. The school board is really supposed to be made up of the community members, of the parents of that community, and what they want to see their students being exposed to and learning in that school. And being publicly funded, and Chris Ann Hall,
I've referenced her before. Chris Ann Hall is a constitutional attorney out of Florida. I love and adore her. I've not met her. I would love to. She is definitely a woman worth following and paying attention to. She touched on this back in 2018 on one of her podcasts. And I don't have the exact podcast episode to reference, but if you go through her content, one, you'll just get a plethora of amazing content and knowledge. But in her archived episodes in 2018, she was actually already talking about these drag performers doing story times in libraries. That's how far back some of the stuff goes. And some who are not familiar with her may get the assumption that she's defending the drag story hour. And in a way she was, even though she doesn't agree with it. And here's why. If something is publicly funded, it's funded by the taxpayers. Everybody in that community who is a taxpayer pays for the right to have access to and to use, right? So if there's a drag performer who wants to host a story hour, or if someone wants to have them host a story hour at the library, they're really within their lawful right to do that. You are also within your lawful right to not attend. There is no right to not be exposed to certain content or not be exposed to things we don't like. That's not a right. We would love it to be, of course, because we want things the way we want them. But others want them the way they want them too. And so that's where rights are really a unique thing. My rights end where another's begins. And as frustrating as that can be when there's things going on that we don't want and that we don't like, we also have to look at things from a constitutional perspective. The Constitution doesn't give us our rights, it protects them, which means every person has their own rights. And in the public forum, unless something is actually impeding on one of your natural God-given rights, which if you need to learn more about what your God-given rights are, a solid resource is Sir William Blackstone. He, in my opinion, is sort of the grandfather of documenting what our natural rights, our God-given rights are. So I highly recommend seeking out his content if you want to learn more about what are my rights exactly and what are my rights not. Our rights, we don't have rights to not be offended is really what it comes down to. So if we don't want to see drag performers at our schools, it also means that we got to be showing up to school board meetings every time they have one. And that's kind of where I come down to these two components to be able to protect our kids. And so this is kind of directing things down, honing it down to from what is our purpose, what is our freedom, to how to protect our kids and being in our freedom and in our right to do so. So these two components I'm going to touch on right after the commercial. And I think the key point with these two is going to surprise a few of you. Hopefully not. Hopefully I'm wrong and that we're far enough along that we realize this is the reality. But we'll hit the commercials here quick and we'll hit those points then. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific here on Freedomizer Radio.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
All right, and I'm going to share again one of my affiliates. After I had my son, I really struggled with my hair and my scalp health. Most women deal with some, okay, I'm not going to generalize, many. I'm not going to overdo the statistic when I haven't researched it. Many women, when they have children, struggle with losing hair, having weak, brittle hair, developing a dry, itchy scalp, and most of us know that this is either hormone imbalance or some kind of mineral deficiency. And I experienced this too. In fact, it was a struggle for 8 years. I've had my kid, you know, I had him 8 years ago, and it's been a constant struggle. And the worst, the most frustrating part was I was already using a product that was clean ingredients and truly clean, not greenwashed. And it was still not improving. So one of my Facebook friends I became really close to, and I realized, or I found out, that she owns this company called Tahl Organics, T-A-H-L Organics. And I kind of told her what was going on. She made a recommendation. And what I love about her hair care products is they're all truly plant-based. And not even just plant-based, but they're actual dried plants. So it's plant product. It's not plant-derived or any of that kind of stuff. So anyways, I was desperate. It's not that I didn't believe, but I was desperate to try anything. And I tried the Nourish Grow as well as the Cleanseful hair care products. She even let me test try the Nourish Grow oil before it was launched officially, knowing I was so desperate to heal my scalp and my hair. So I kind of got the whole kit and caboodle at the time. I tried the Nourish Grow powder and oil. I also got the Cleanseful powder as well as the Moisture Lock hair serum. And I started using the system. Within 2 weeks, you guys, 2 weeks, my dandruff and dry itchy scalp issue, like, it was dry and tight and itchy and just miserable. It was virtually gone. Now, I still need to address the stress component. I still need to address the hormone component. But the fact that I was able to find some hair care that actually started helping it, I literally cried when I messaged her back 2 weeks later saying how well it was working. So because of my testimonial, she is giving me a discount code to share with you guys. And that code is AMBER20. So AMBER20. And if you go to tallorganics.com, that website is TALORGANICS.com. And when you go to check out at the cart and you type in Amber 20, you'll get a 20% discount for using my referral code. And try out these products. They're Ayurvedic. They are free from silicones, parabens, mineral oils, synthetic fragrances, alcohols, fillers, toxic preservatives. They're all plants, and it's truly a remedy. It's not just stuff to strip your hair of its natural oils. It's truly to help care for your hair. And I know that was a little rhymey, not intentional. So that's just kind of my shameless plug for that, because I found something that finally worked for me. And if you've struggled with any of the things I mentioned or more, I highly recommend searching out this product and this set of products, I should say. It's been a godsend for me, and hopefully it can help you with your changes too. All right, so back to our topic here. The two components I was talking about in supporting and protecting what our kids are exposed to. The first one is take action to reform. The article that I just mentioned on Epic Times, and again, that article is called Maine High School Pays Drag Performer $1,000 to Host Catered Workshop for LGBT Students. The article goes on to share about how Sean Brierty, who is a parental rights advocate, helps teach parents how to take back their school boards. So this is what I'm talking about here. We need to show up for our kids. So when it comes to what they're talking about and advocating for in this article, I say a resounding yes. Because if we're not showing up and we're letting our kids be exposed to this in the public education system, or even just private school, if they get federal funding, they're typically following the same kind of curriculum and exposures as the public schools. If we're not showing up, logically, we have no right to complain, because we were silent, and thus silence means compliance. Silence equals really agreement. So if you don't like what you're seeing going on, start showing up. That is the most basic thing that we can do. Get involved, ask your kids, and cultivate a positive relationship. Don't interrogate your kids on what they're learning at school, what they're talking about at school, but build this relationship of supporting, making sure that they can feel safe to talk to you about these things. And then show up to the school board meetings. Typically, it's not difficult to go onto your school district's website and find out when the school board meetings are. And if it is difficult, call up the school and ask, straight up ask. You don't even have to have kids in the school district anymore. If you're a member of that community, you can go to the school board meetings. And really, in my personal opinion, do it. We need people doing that. We need people who are retired, who have time on their hands to investigate and keep the checks and balances on the system. It's our duty. And not just to our community, but to all kids. So if you're retired, really consider showing up at every school board meeting. And better yet, consider running for the school board. That in and of itself, a huge step and something that is going to impact your life directly, because it's local. It's where you live and where you work and where you just enjoy your life. So show up. One of the second things is, especially if you do have kids, is removing your family from the messed up system. 2020 was a huge mass exodus of removing kids from this messed up system. We wanted to protect our kids from the indoctrination. And it becomes so blatant in its words. It became so blatant and obvious that we couldn't avoid it anymore. If you, and I wish PureFlix had an affiliate or a referral code, but if you have a PureFlix account, which is like the Christian Netflix, if you have a PureFlix account, I highly recommend watching the homeschool oh gosh, what's it called? The Homeschool Awakening with Kirk Cameron. I haven't even finished it myself yet. I ran out of time the other day. What I saw brought me to tears because people are finally stepping up and talking about this stuff. Another one that should bring all of us to tears is the God's Not Dead series, particularly the third one, I believe, which is about homeschooling as well and our liberties and rights in that, our parental rights. If you, as a parent, feel lost and confused as to how to protect your kids, not just all kids, but just your kids, watch those two videos. The God's Not Dead number 3 and the Homeschool Awakening on PureFlix. That will fuel your fire to take action. And if you do decide you want to take action and remove your kids from the system, shoot me an email. Get in contact with me. If my email's not up in the call description for today, I will find a way to edit it. Otherwise, my email is livingwithfreedom@protonmail.com. So I will spell that out. LIVINGWITHFREEDOM at P as in Peter, R-O, T as in Tom, O-N as in Nancy, M as in Mary, AIL.com. So my email is livingwithfreedom@protonmail.com. So you can contact me directly if you want to get started taking your kids out of this messed up system, or if you already are and you want to help support other kids in the community. There are things we can do. One of them is doing what I call a children's ministry, a private unincorporated ministry that serves the families and the children in your community. And this is actually my passion and my purpose in life, is being an advisor for private member associations and private ministry associations. And if you, part of your God-given purpose is protecting and, you know, raising up your children, you want to protect that. Another resource that you can use is you can, and I'm going to open the link here so I can read it completely. You can go to the website, go.livingwithfreedom.org/PMA. That again is go.livingwithfreedom.org/PMA. And what that link will do is it'll give you access to a 10-minute intro video as well as a full 25-minute webinar. I tried to keep them very short and very accessible. And if this is something that you want to pursue to protect your family and even just protect your purpose in life by serving others, this can help. So then once you watch those, you can also get on my schedule to have a consultation so we can really talk about your individual situation and what you're looking at doing. So the 2 points in kind of summary is, one, take action to reform what's already existing, and two, removing family from that messed up system. The key here is, even if / when you remove your family from the messed up system, keep showing up, because our kids are growing up and going to be out in the world with kids who went to that public school and got that indoctrination. So for the other kids, but also for our kids' sake as adults, keep showing up. There are families out there, and I'm actually one of them. I don't have the choice because of divorce-related things. We'll just put it that way. I don't have the choice on my own to remove my son from that public school system. So whether you do it for me and my son, whether you do it for the kids in your neighborhood whose parents are single parents and working 2 or 3 jobs just to get by and they can't homeschool their kid, and have to put them in public school, or you just want to see a brighter future for your kids out in the real, like, as an adult out in the real world, keep showing up to those school board meetings. Keep involved and keep fighting for integrity. Keep fighting for truth with a capital T. Keep fighting for everyone's rights. And keep making sure that where one person's actual rights start or end is where another person's rights begin. We're not favoring one person's rights over another. We're making sure that there's this equal or equitable playing field so that everyone can have their rights without stepping on another's. And just to kind of drive that point home, if you aren't sure what your rights actually are, now we know we have a right to freedom. We know we have a right to free speech and religion. But to really dig deep into the full scope of your rights, check out Sir William Blackstone and really dig into what he documented as a list of our natural God-given rights. And that's really where, when you hear about in our Declaration and other founding fathers and framers, and from Sir William Blackstone, you'll hear about the laws of nature and nature's God. And there was a specific reason. In my opinion, I think it's pretty darn smart of them to reference God and nature in a more neutral sense. Some really conservative Christians and traditionalist Christians don't like talking about, having a faith in nature or a faith in nature's God, because there's one true God. I respect that. And I also hold enough space to recognize that nature's God, so nature as in possesses, and nature, apostrophe, yes, nature's God is the God of everything. Because God created nature. God created the earth, right? So nature's God is God. So if we can just take a moment and step back to get over our preconceived notions of how to not define but address or maybe label, I don't know, God, and realize that nature's God is the creator God. Our founding fathers were talking about our God-given rights and our natural rights given to us by our creator at birth. And yeah, it's just a beautiful, powerful thing. So when we come to realize how showing up can really help those things, help our liberties, help our rights, help protect our freedoms, it becomes way more attainable, I would say, way more justified to take action. And I feel like showing up is a huge part of what we've forgotten. So in our last 10 minutes, I want to touch on kind of a call to action and also a reminder. I started to look at who those signers of the Declaration of Independence were. And if you recall from last week, there were 56 signers to the Declaration. That means 56 men signed that piece of paper. And because we know at most a dozen of them, I started going through the list. And what I was doing was compiling, because I'm a nerd, I was creating a spreadsheet of all of those signers, and I'm expanding it so I also have like their birth dates, their state, but what I was mostly focusing on is the jobs they had, the things that they were doing in their life, and recognizing that they were still showing up in the hugest way possible. For instance, John Hancock. He was a merchant. He was a statesman. He was a Massachusetts representative. He was a delegate in Congress. He was a governor. He was a landowner, which also means he was probably a farmer. So that's six things. And some fun facts, like he had his ship called Liberty confiscated by Great Britain, and they refused
did it for the Royal Navy in Rhode Island, and then as retaliation, colonists burned it in defiance against the Royal Navy. Thankfully, due to his uncle's will, all of the slaves that John Hancock had inherited from his uncle were freed, and he had never bought or sold any slaves. He was also really philanthropic. He gave to the poor. He supported widows and orphans. He loaned to friends. He was overall a pretty generous man. He was a senior major general of the Massachusetts militia. And as governor, he helped get three kidnapped slaves that were taken to the West Indies released and returned to Massachusetts. He was also concerned that the Constitution at the time didn't have a Bill of Rights, and he was also concerned about a shift to central government in power. And so he was very much a freedom fighter. And yet most of us only hear John Hancock as a fun nickname for your signature. Like, put your John Hancock right here, right? And yet he did all of these things in our founding and framing, and we hardly know a thing about him. There were physicians, there were reverends and preachers, there were ship captains and judges and writers and farmers, and most of these people had at minimum five different things that they were doing or had done in their lifetime and were still involved as being patriots and freedom fighters. And that's only, I've only actually started writing down the first six. I started creating a tally until I realized how many of these people overlap. And I had only gotten through about 10, maybe 15. And already I had tallied that seven were merchants, two were physicians, one was a ship captain, 13 were statesmen, five were judges, two were writers, one was a tax collector. Seven were attorneys, at least two were teachers, one or two were chaplains or preachers. There was a surveyor, an astronomer, a customs collector, and a farmer. And the thing is, even if we're just doing Wikipedia searches, most of their histories do not include the fact that they had farms, because that was common practice at the time and not considered noteworthy. And yet when you look at our lifestyle today, most people aren't farmers. Most people don't even have their own gardens. When you look at how much work it takes to grow a garden or have a farm with animals or not, whether it's just plant food or animal food too, like, having a farm is a lot of work. It can be a full-time job all by itself. And yet at the time, most people had farms and day jobs and were involved. If they can do all of this stuff and know that what they were doing is putting a literal target on their backs for their lives, I really feel like we can do better, you guys. And yes, I know that our lives are busy. I know these devices that we keep in our hands all day long keep us so distracted. And even if what we're doing on our phone and on social media is learning about truth, what are we doing to implement it? What are we doing to take action on it and apply it to life? Because if knowledge is power and we have no knowledge, we have no power. But when we know better, we should be doing better. And so that's really how to wrap all this up, is what is living with freedom? It's getting to enjoy self-governance. And self-governance doesn't come without effort. It doesn't come without the tools and resources to uphold and defend it. And we know the saying that's been shared ad nauseum, freedom isn't free. If you look at our founders and framers, you're going to see just how true that is. One last noteworthy note about
a founding father and a signer of the Declaration. Oh, shoot. Hang on a second. Okay, it was William Whipple, and he freed one of his servants, Prince Whipple, and wrote, "A recommendation is gone thither for raising some regiments of blacks. Thus, I support will lay foundation for the emancipation of those wretches in that country. I hope it will be the means of dispensing the blessings of freedom to all the human race in America." The reason that's noteworthy, in my opinion, is he had started out in trades, in transatlantic trades with Africa, trading slaves. And then later in his life, he really righted that wrong by freeing his own slave. And the concept was, how can I help fight for freedom of all men and yet keep a man in bondage myself? And that's really profound. How are we keeping ourselves in bondage? By not showing up, by not taking action, by just being compliant. Let's be rebels with a cause. I'm not saying rebel just for the sake of rebelling, just because we don't like something, but when we see something wrong, be a rebel with a cause. I believe it was Marbury versus Madison that said, any law repugnant, and I'm paraphrasing, any law repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. So something we're going to be looking at in the future too is digging into the Constitution and really starting to compare what laws exist that are repugnant to the Constitution and what really should not be being followed. And this is not an anarchy kind of thing. This is keeping the limited scope of government to that limited scope and nothing more. Because I'm not anti-government. I know some people are. And kudos to them for sticking to their beliefs. But I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-government overreach and intrusion. I want them to have the limited scope we gave them and nothing more. Because that purpose is an important purpose, but it's not what it is right now. Right now is a big, giant mess. It's a fuster cluck. So I'm... got a minute and a half left, so what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up. So again, my name is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries. I am a director of Living with Freedom Ministries. I am a mother, medical freedom advocate, a PMA advisor, a health practitioner in the private domain, and so many more things. And I'm just really passionate about sharing what living with freedom can look like for all of us. So if you want to tune in and hear more about these things that we've talked about today and more, you can find us here on Freedomizer Radio at 2 p.m. Central Time, noon Pacific, on Freedomizer Radio. And with that, we have a few more seconds. So I'm going to share one shameless plug for one of our other radio shows.
Hey everyone, come check out the Proof Negative radio show here on FreedomizerRadio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
All right, and on that note, we are just about at time. Again, my name is Amber S. on Living with Freedom from Living with Freedom Ministries. I hope you have a beautiful day, a beautiful week, and I will see you here again next week. Feel free to share the link or the call-in number so you can call in and listen. If you need some information on how to do that, please feel free to reach out and we will get you the information. Otherwise, it's on freedomizerradio.com, and we'll catch you next time.